Hello, you are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us for our interview program, Conversations with Rosanna. Today in our studios, we have the visit of Bill Goldstein. He is the committee chair and former Ignite student, and now he is also an instructor. But he has come today to us to talk about this amazing event that is happening in order to help the Ignite Adaptive Sports. It's a huge gala happening October the 13th. And I'm super happy to have you so that you can talk about this to us.
Thank you for having me. Ignite Adaptive Sports is hosted by Eldora Mountain. We provide snow sport instruction and equipment to people of all disabilities, including visually impaired and blind students. And as Rosanna said, this Friday we have our big fundraising benefit entitled Ignite Tonight, and that's going to be at the Boulder JCC. And it hosts about 250 people and is probably our biggest single fundraiser that we do each year. And the money we raise goes towards providing equipment, scholarships, and programs for our students.
That's fantastic. Tell us about the mission of the organization and how long it has been going around so that our audience can get an idea.
Ignite has been around for approximately 42 years, not under the same name, but it was originally founded by a group of CU students who decided that they wanted to help people with disabilities do some skiing. And that really was the seed that over the years is now what is entitled Ignite. And our mission is really just to help people of all disabilities, and that can be a veteran who has lost a limb, it can be a blind or deaf skier, it can be students who suffer from cognitive disabilities, and in many cases sometimes they have more than one disability affecting them. And our mission is to let them enjoy skiing. I myself started out as a student. I lost my leg about 3 years ago, and this program really helped me adjust to my new life. And after my first season, I became an instructor for the following two, and now I've taken on the additional role of putting together this big gala every year. And it's one of my passions, and you know, this organization has done so much for me. I'm more than happy to give back to them. I was a former skier who was anxious to get back on the slopes, but many of our students have never experienced skiing before, or snowboarding, or cross-country skiing. And to be able to deliver that to them and see them enjoy all the things that come with a day of skiing is really a very wonderfully rewarding mission for us, and it's certainly a wonderful feeling for them and their families.
Nature has something that is super special, eh? That there's nothing to compare. It's almost that there's no words to talk about the experience of being up there, enjoying the sun, the snow, the wind, going down the slopes.
It's true. I was off skis for almost 5 years because of my injuries to my leg. I lost my leg to a diabetic infection. And, I'll never forget that first day back on the slopes with Ignite. Everything from the drive and a cup of coffee in the parking lot to the smell of the snow and, as you mentioned, the sun and the outdoors. And then, of course, when you get on that chair and you're coming down the lift and you get to do something that has been taken away from you, it's really a special feeling. And, of course, for those who are experiencing it the first time in their lives, like a blind skier, for example, that's a pretty amazing thing to be part of.
That's fantastic. I have a question for you. If you want to be a volunteer, what are the requirements?
So the requirements are, in the month of October, we have three orientation sessions, and I can give you the date before we're finished here. And you go to one of the orientation sessions and you'll get the kind of the lowdown on what's going to be, what the next steps will be. And those will include some classwork training and some on-mountain clinics. And then once you complete those, you're a volunteer instructor. And you start out as a shadow, working underneath a lead instructor. And then somewhere along the line in year one or year two, it's really case by case, when you feel comfortable, you become a lead instructor. Ignite has over 200 volunteer ski instructors. We are almost entirely a volunteer organization, which allows us to provide these snow sports at a very reasonable cost. You know, typically adaptive skiing is very expensive. There's specialized equipment involved, and in many cases you need several instructors for each student, depending on the situation. We do our best to make it affordable, and on a case-by-case basis we award scholarships. So that's one of the things that makes us unique. And what I tell a lot of people when they hear ski instructors, they envision that they have to be, you know, a top-notch expert skier. Yeah. Adaptive skiing has a lot to do with your communication skills, and especially when you're teaching people really who have never skied before. So it's not you need to be a sound skier, but you don't have to be a top-flight expert to do this. I think the combination of just being a solid skier and a good communicator and good with people is really the skill set that you'll need. If you volunteer to do 12 days of lessons, you will get a free pass to Eldora Mountain that you can use all season long. So that's a great value. And if your schedule doesn't permit you to do 12, then you will ski free on the days that you instruct. And, of course, most people who get started kind of get addicted to it, and 12 days, it comes pretty quick.
I'm asking you that because, you know, when I go and I install radios for our people, you know, blind and visually impaired, and those that cannot get out of the house for whatever reason and cannot, you know, get the newspaper that they used to read or not get, you know, what's happening around the community, and I see how happy they get when that radio starts, you know, turning on, and they listen to the music in between, and I see the happiness. I get more excited about getting more volunteers to continue doing the programming and more people involved. And like you said, once you start doing it, you cannot stop.
Yes, it's really contagious. We have our own building at the base of Eldora Mountain on the junior side of the mountain, kind of by the kiddie slopes. And just the energy in the room between the instructors and the students and the support staff, it's really a lot of fun. You know, we have a large equipment room, so a big part of it is getting the students fitted for their equipment and getting them all geared up and making sure they're wearing the proper clothing so they're comfortable. And we have many repeat students that we have files on, and we track their progress. And helps us continue to improve their skiing from day to day. And the key word really is adaptive, because you never know what you're going to run into out there. It's limitless in terms of some of the challenges that you're going to meet with our students. And for example, we recently did a deaf day where we took 50 deaf students skiing for the day. And we probably had close to 50 instructors as well that day, and very few, if any, of those instructors, knew how to speak sign language. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't exactly yell slow down or speed up or right left when you're teaching a deaf student how to ski. And it was amazing just to watch how, with the help of a handful of ASL instructors, we were able to adapt. And by the end of the day, the students and the instructors were skiing side by side and communicating. And boy, did they have a fun day. Both the students and the instructors had a blast.
That's awesome, because we're talking about another language. You know, it's really communication, because you have to communicate, you know, between each other with another language, sign language. And what's you know, what I'm thinking right now is the same as when you have a second language too, that you need to learn, and it's, you know, helps you to communicate and guide and become a community.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nonverbal clues that come into play when you're on the mountain, because depending on the situation, you know, you're not really that close to your students. So sometimes the audio clues don't really work if you're, you know, 100 feet down the hill, for example, waiting for them to ski down. But just like anything else, after you spend some time with each other, you kind of learn the nuances and you pick up, you know, the signs from them. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes our students, you know, they're always wearing helmets and often wearing goggles. So you can't really see their eyes and even necessarily hear them in the wind. But you somehow adapt and learn to pick up the clues so that you know that they're, you know, that they're healthy and that, you know, you're not overdoing it or underdoing it. And that's part of the skill of being a good instructor. And within Ignite's ranks, I've only been there for about 3 years, but many of our instructors have been there for 15 years, 20 years, or even more. So there's a wealth of knowledge within our ranks of volunteer instructors. And many of them are top flight expert skiers or former ski patrollers and or people who've worked in the outdoor industry. And you become a better skier yourself and a much better instructor. And, you know, as we share all that knowledge and we debrief each other on the challenges that we found on the hill with our students. So I think every day we all get a little bit better at what we do.
But it's also the human touch that is super special, you know, the connections that you and the friendships that you.
I mean, that's the fun part. And that's the really beautiful part, because we really do change lives of our students. You know, I can tell you firsthand that what a program like Ignite does for your confidence and just your overall outlook on life is really pretty amazing. And, you know, we get to experience that every day that we're out there instructing. So it's very special.
Tell me about the program that you have for the blind and visually impaired.
So I have a few facts here. Last year, we gave 324 lessons to 70 students who are visually impaired. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, one thing I think is very cool is every adaptive ski center that you go to always has a spot for the service dogs, you know, some dog toys and some bowls and bones and things like that. And I always thought that was kind of neat that that's part of the standard equipment for these operations. We do a lot of work with CCB, which is the Colorado Center for the Blind, and we provide lessons to their students. And also we refer our visually impaired students who are confident and independent skiers or snowboarders to Foresight. And that is a blind skier service based in Vail, Colorado. And then one other thing I'd like to add is that this year, the some of the money that we raise at the gala is going to go towards the purchase of wireless communication devices and headsets that we will use with our VI, visually impaired student programs.
And that's fantastic, so that they can communicate in the, you know, when they are apart. And it's almost like a walkie-talkie. When I was little, I used to love walkie-talkies so that we can hide and go around and play in the, you know, out of the house, inside the house.
You know, there's a lot of trust involved. I know when you're taking a clinic to be a visually impaired instructor, they blindfold you and, you know, have us ski, just trusting, you know, the audio cues that we get from our fellow instructors. So we literally try to put ourselves in their shoes to experience what that's like.
I have been at the center, the Colorado Center for the Blind, and I have been so impressed to see the kids, the young ones, running around playing soccer and, you know, working on wood and doing all this. And I come so surprised, like, if they are able to do that and they enjoy it so much and the energy is so fantastic, I would love to go and see them skiing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, some of our students struggle a little, and some of our students struggle a lot with the everyday things that we take for granted. And, to have them be able to ride a chairlift and ski down a run, and in some cases, they move up and or ski intermediate runs, and we have students who now ski expert runs. It's really quite an accomplishment, and I think it definitely carries over into the other aspects of their lives and gives them a higher level of confidence that there's nothing that they can't do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Nothing that they cannot do is, you know, independency. And that, you know, completely different.
Yeah.
I would like you to tell me a little bit about your first time that you went down the mountain and that you were a student.
Sure. Because I remember it well. It was pretty hard. It didn't come out. You know, I took my lumps for sure my first year. So I lost my left leg, and the type of skiing that I do is called three-track skiing. And what that means is that you ski on one leg with one ski, and then you have two outriggers, which kind of look like ski poles that have little skis at the ends of them. Those are called the outriggers. And my first day, we don't even get on the hill. You know, we just kind of stay down at the bottom where it's flat. Mm-hmm. And you had two instructors who had a chair for me to sit in because it's very exhausting being on one leg mm-hmm. when you're not used to it the whole time. And maybe just on a slope that had a very mild incline, we would try to just get me used to the feeling of skiing on one leg. Of course, as a former skier, you're very tempted mm-hmm. to use that other leg and put that down, but that's not a good idea. And, you know, really, I think the very first day, it was just so physically demanding. You know, one of the things that you learn with three tracking is that the faster you go, the easier it is. But of course, in the beginning, you're very scared to mm-hmm. go fast.
So you go slow.
So you go slow, which makes it harder. And a lot of it has to do with mental. And then in the second or third time out, we were taking on the challenge of getting off and on a chairlift. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time we get on the chairlift, I have my instructor, and they slow it down. And the second time, they say, don't slow it down. And then the third time, they make me go by myself. Mm-hmm. And so learning to do that was a bit of a challenge. And then I was making a lot of progress, and then somewhere along the middle of the season, I kind of hit a bump in the road, and I'm not sure why, but I started kind of going downhill, no pun intended. And I remember one day in particular, I was so exhausted and out of sorts that I threw up on the hill. I only made it down one run for the entire day, and I barely made it down there. And then after that, I had to kind of slowly climb my way back day after day and get my confidence back up. But by the end of that first season, I was skiing well. And then the second year, I started out as an instructor. And being handicapped myself is a great tool when you're teaching other handicapped people to ski because they kind of see that you're in the club, so to speak. And that breaks the ice a little bit. And it's kind of a, hey, if I can do it, you can do it kind of
yes.
thing.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted you to tell me.
Yeah.
From being a student to being an instructor. Amazing. Amazing journey.
Yeah.
Tell us about the gala. How is it going to be? Is it going to be a journey? What are you going to show us? You know, I'm curious. And what's the goal for the
I'd be happy to. So I became an instructor, and I also have kind of a background in event planning. And I overheard a conversation at our building, we call World Headquarters, that they wanted to do something, some type of fundraiser. And I told them about my background, and then that idea, I think I kind of turned it into a much bigger idea than mm-hmm. they initially had. I had the experience when I first lost my leg, the people who built my prosthetic took me to an event called the Wells Fargo Cup. And that's up at Winter Park, Colorado. And that is the national headquarters for adaptive skiing. And they put on this three-day huge adaptive ski race with corporate sponsors and, you know, they treat it like a World Cup ski race, you know, hospitality tents and music and festivals. And, you know, it's really,
fantastic.
It's a multi-million dollar fundraiser. And I thought to myself, well, you know, our program, you know, may not be as big as that, but it's not that far behind it. And we should try to think big along those lines.
And what is amazing is that you are doing it at the JCC. And this year, or last year, I should say, they had the movies that they bring, the JCC, you know, movies exactly related to that.
Yeah, the JCC is a wonderful center.
I think it's a genius thing that you are putting it together there.
Well, the reason why we ended up there actually is we just recently lost our president of our board, a gentleman named David Levin, died. And David was an inspiration to all of us. I think he was president of our board with the organization for about 23 years, I believe. And he also was part of building the JCC. He was on their board. As a matter of fact, the ballroom at the JCC, which is a beautiful facility, is called Levin Hall. And that was named after David's father. So
everything together.
Everything kind of fell into place. Together, yes. And they had never, the organization hadn't ever done anything quite this elaborate. And last year was the first time we did it. It was very successful. We raised about $60,000 for the program and brought in a number of corporate sponsors, co-branded with the University of Colorado and many other sponsors like Tebow Properties and Great Western Bank and others. And so not only did we raise money, but we really raised awareness of who we are and what we're doing. And it was a really special night. So this year is year two. We were able to, you know, upgrade the band and just get things just a little bit tighter all around. We have an exposition hall this year where we're going to do a better job of showing our equipment and having some of our sponsors who make prosthetics and make some of this equipment be there to explain what that's all about. And we actually, I should give it a plug, we still have what we call after dinner tickets available because the full dinner ticket is sold out, but for $45, you can show up for the last 2 hours, catch all the live music. There's a live, there's a open bar, beer and wine, and also a late night snack provided by Pasta J's. So it's a great value, and it allows people who missed out on getting a ticket to still come. And you can find those tickets at our website, which is igniteadaptivesports.org. And
there's a phone number that somebody can call you if they have access to.
If you want to call a phone number, you can call my phone number.
Yes.
And I'm happy to give you that. It's 917-658-8579. Bill Goldstein. You just give me a call and we'll take care of you.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. And I wish you the best, you know, the best for this gala and also for the future snow days that you will be having soon.
Yeah, it's going to be here before you know it.
Yes. Yo, we had a lot of snow already. This is fantastic. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having
me. And sharing this. And hopefully we will be able to, you know, to collaborate more and do things together as organizations.
I think we should, you know, everybody involved in Ignite, whether they attend the gala, donate money, instruct, help with admin, or have students, you know, the energy level about all the groups that we work with together, there's a lot of collaboration and a lot of benefit to go around.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming. Once again, you are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. Thank you for joining us for our program Conversations with Rosanna. We encourage you to continue listening to our programming.
So we still have tickets available for the Ignite Tonight Gala, which will be this Friday, October 13th, at the Boulder JCC. This is a fundraiser to support Ignite Adaptive Sports. We provide snow sport instruction to people of all disabilities. The dinner portion is sold out, but we have made available after dinner tickets. So for $45, you can come by around 9 o'clock for the last 2 hours. We have live music with the band Funkifino, an open bar, beer and wine, and a late night snack catered by Pasta J. And it's a wonderful event in a beautiful venue. And if you are interested in tickets, you can contact Bill Goldstein at 917-658-8579 or go to our website at ignite adaptive sports.org.